The intent of the shiur this evening, as you can see from the Mar Mekomos, is to examine three different Mekoros for the story of the Meraglin, which is repeated here in Mishnah Torah. The Mekor, of course, originally is the Parshin Shlach. That's the classic Parshas HaMeraglim. In Mishnah Torah we have in Sefer Dvarim, the episode of the Meraglim is once again revisited by Moshe Rabbeinu as he revisits a number of events that occurred in the course of Sefer Bamidbar. And then I would like to also examine the Parshin Yoshua and draw actually contrast between the story of the Meraglim as found in Sefer Yoshua and the story of the Meraglim that's found here in Bamidbar and Dvarim. There are many, many chilukim, many distinctions to be drawn between the way the Pasha of the Meraglim is described in Bamidbar, that's the original Pasha where the story occurred, and then the subsequent revisiting of the Pasha here in Sefer Dvarim. There are literally tens and tens of distinctions, and I would venture to say that one could actually describe them not only as distinctions, but I would I actually more or less jot it down for myself. I spent many, many hours examining the two parashiyos in order to see the following maskaros that I came to. There are items that are found in Shlach and not found in Dvarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu revisits the parsha. Two, there are additional items that Moshe Rabbeinu adds that are not found in Shlach, but found only in Dvarim. Three, there are shinuyim that occur between that which is described in Shlach and that which occurs in Parshas Dvarim. And the fourth, which is in some respects the most difficult, there are stiras, contradictions between the way the presentation of the Torah has in Shlach and the way the Torah has in Sefer Dvarim. Parshas Shlach is much longer. It's many, many psukim, tens and tens of psukim. I found in Shlach describing the episode of the Meraglim. And in Dvarim, it's considerably more succinct, more brief. I would say one third of the story that's described in Shlach is found here in Parshas Dvarim. I'll just, by way of, I have an entire sheet, but I'm not going to go through every single item that more or less demarcates from one to the other. I'll just mention a number of, and you can see it in front of the sheet, in the two sheets in front of you that you have literally directly in front of you. Just put them side by side, and I attempted in my best way to try to draw linkages between the different two parshiyos, namely that of Bamidbar and that of Dvarim. Let's start, for example, in Sefer Dvarim, Psukim Yutes, Chaf, and Chafalos. And that you can see over here. Again, Dvarim is in the left-hand column, and the other is in the right-hand column. So if you examine Psukim Yutes, and Chaf, and Chafalos, you'll notice that these psukim bichlal don't appear in Parshas Shlach. Namely, the Torah here describes it's on the top of the page, upper left hand corner. Vanisa mechorev, vanele reskolamidra agodol vanora haru asher reisem derech har ha'amuri kasher tziv asher alkenu alsonu vanova al kodesh vanea. Vomar aleichem, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, bosem an har ha'amuri asher asher alkenu nosein lonu. Rei nosan Hashem Elokecha lefanecha es ha'aretz alei resh kasher dibre Hashem Elokecha abusecha loch al tira di al techas. By the way, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvot, this is one of the psukim the Ramban cites, namely Pasuk Chaf Aleph, that there's a chiyuv, there's a mitzvah chiyuvis regarding living in Eretz Yisrael. He quotes this pasuk. Among many psukim the Ramban quotes, he refers to this pasuk here in the beginning of Parshas Dvarim, namely alei resh. This is a tzibui. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in effect, to Moshe Rabbeinu, told Klal Yisrael to go and yarshin Klal Yisrael. Kasher dibre Eretz Yisrael. Kasher dibre Hashem Elokei Abusecha Loch. Al tira v'al techos. There's no reason to be frightened, to be fearful. In Pasuk Chaf Beis, that's really the main discrepancy, or the main, if you will, area of difference between Sefer Dvarim and Bamidbar. Look in Bamidbar for a moment, in the upper right-hand corner of Shlach, really, the beginning of Parshas Shlach, which is the relevant section over here, which is upper right hand corner. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor. Here, the nature of the mission. How is the mission actually? How is it? How did it unfold? Hashem tells Moshe, Shlach lecha anoshim v'yasu es eretz Kanaan. Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who was directing traffic. He's the one who instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the people to go ahead and, however you translate the Yasuru, let's translate it right now as the way it's normally translated. Someone told me they're a tour agency. Their tour agency is based on this pasuk, Latur Ataretz. So Latur Ataretz, to go and shall we say, scout out the land, as it were. So this was a directive of Hashem is brought to Moshe, and the Torah tells us as well. Each person, one individual, delegated to be for each shevet, and then the Torah goes on to describe in the sukkim that follow, sukkim gimel, dalid, the names of the individuals that were chosen to represent their shvatim, and the Torah actually delineates it, and then it tells you in pasuk tezvav. Lamati God, and then Eilu Shmosa Anoshim Shasholach Moshe Lasura Saaret, and the name change that occurred, and Moshe Rabbeinu sent them and gave them a mission. So here the directive comes from Hashem Yisbarach. However, if you look in Sefer Dvarim, and as I said, this is the right, literally the left hand side of this parallel to these sukkim here, and the Torah here says in Pasuk Habeis Vatikulun Eilai Kulchen. The implication, of course, being that the idea for this entire mandate came from whom? From Klal Yisrael. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was their idea, it was something that they wanted, and therefore they suggested it to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they also indicate what exactly the nature of the mission is. The Yeshiva of Fenu Dabba, let those people who are going to be sent, by the way, notice here it mentions Anoshim, does not mention heads of Shvatim or their individual names. Moshe Rabbeinu was masking, he liked the idea. Moshe Rabbeinu thought it was a good idea, but the suggestion emanated from Klal Yisrael. That's how the psukim seem to indicate. And now, a Rebbe of mine, Rav Noach Monsin Patzal, he was very fond of Rashi and this pasuk, he was the Talmud of Briskerov, one of the main Talmudim of Briskerov. So he pointed out the Rashi. Rashi is a well-known Rashi, but generally you don't pay attention to this editorial note, just an aside. I couldn't avoid resisting. I heard this from him, and probably in the 60s. He was talking about, he only spoke in Yiddish. He didn't speak English. Anyway, so, but he was trying to explain to the Talmidim Shia, who were not exactly holding it anything, but he was trying to explain to them that there's a concept in English, he didn't know what the English expression was, but the expression, of course, is that the ends justify the means. Many have such a perspective that if the ends are noble, then you could utilize any means at your disposal to achieve those ends. That's a very common, shall we say, conception. And the question is, Alpei Halacha, is there a basis for that position? Or to put it in simple Hebrew, Haim ha-matara mikadeshet ha-ensayim. That's how it's expressed in Hebrew. Does the ultimate goal, shall we say, permit you to go ahead and do it, shall we say, no matter what particular methodology you utilize? And he argued, chas v'sholom. Chas v'sholom. The methodology and the means of attaining the goal is just as significant as the goal itself. And both have to be, shall we say, well-founded and well-grounded. And he brought a riot from this Rashi. But what happened was, we asked him in Chedesh Elul to say a Hashkofa Shia. Something in Hashkofa. He was a Briska, Talmud Briskerov. I heard him Shurim on Perek Hazov. He said Shurim in Tashlum Mituma, in Rambam's. Unbelievable Shurim. We weren't holding by Madrega to appreciate what he was talking about. So, right, Erev Rosh Hashanah, he was my Mesadish. Correct. He was my Masadik Dusha because my Rebbe Hassan Rechik held he was the person, he couldn't do it, and so he held he was the person to do it among all the Rashi Yeshiva who were there. He said he was number one. Anyway, so the he was probably number one Talmud of Briskerov. So he was a genius and evilly beyond belief. He and his partner, Rav Yochum Grelick, had a massive hashpah in my life. Whatever the case is, so we asked an Erev Rosh Hashanah, Sadisla Hashkofen, Dabne Hogan. That's all we hear all day, Lomdu Shishurin. Lomdu Shishurim, left and right, one after the next. Rambam's here and Gemara's here. Tashlum Tumah, that was the big issue in Perek Hazov, anyway, that he said Shir on. So he said, okay. Zolzgong and Abisla Ashkofa. And the Ashkofa, he said, was on this Rashi,
says Rashi, Vatikimon Elai Kochen Bi'ibuvia. Lashon Rashi. Had they approached Moshe Rabbeinu Bi'ibuvia? How shall I translate the word Bi'ibuvia? A crowd which is unruly. An unruly crowd. Yelodin Dechlin Skenin. That's what Rashi says over there. Yelodin Dechlin Skenin. You take a look at the Rashi, you see it right here in this week's Pasha. Right here. In Dvarim, literally in the very beginning. Vatikimun Elai Kulchem Kamin Rashi Be'ebuvia Ulahalam Hu'aymeh Vatikimun Elai Kol Rashi Shivtechem Bezuk Nechem Vatayru Perakei, later on, in Vastanen Hein Heranu Hashem Elokeinu Eskvaydi Vezgobo Yeskelu Shavani Mitzahayi Shayim Azer Ra'inu Hidabri Elokim Es Odom Vachoy. So that's one Vatikimun, and here's another. So it says Rashi Oysa Kreva Oysa Ogenes. That Kreva, in the context of Hasinai, was proper. Yolodim Mechadim Esatkeinim Ushlochim Lifneim. There was a seder. It was done in an orderly kind of fashion. Correct? Yelodim, those that were younger, were mechabi, those that were older. The elder, the zkenim, were mechabi, the roshim. Avokan, v'atikim when they lie, kuchem be'ebuvia, yelodim doichim zkenim, uzkenim doichim v'saroshim. Here it was completely lo lefi seder, lo lefi derecheret. So my Rebbe said, Anach Monstein, Zatzal, he said, this Rashi is a raya against the whole Yisod. The Yisod that the ends do not justify the means. That's what Rashi is telling us. And then he told us, I remember this well, this goes back many, many years, in the 60s, almost close to over 45 years ago. It's actually more than that. Anyway, so he argued that the ends do not justify the means. You see that from this Rashi, Vatikim Alai Kulchem, and that's what Rashi is trying to tell us. And he said the most important yisod in Kol HaTorah Kula is Kavod HaTorah. If one does not have Kavod HaTorah, then basically it's a Gemara Megillah, it's a Gemara a few other places as well, this yisod that he said over, and he essentially articulated it based on this Rashi. Okay, this was just an aside, I just couldn't control myself. So Yisod Yankusul and Mishtakha. So therefore I had to mention it. But my main point here was that when you contrast the two parshas, it's very clear that the directive to send the meraglim in one parsha emanates from an instruction, a direct instruction from Hashem Yisbarach, an imperative, tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, and here in Sefer Dvarim, the Parsha Dvarim, it's clear that it emanated from Kol Yisrael. The Ramban and all the Rishonim are very concerned about this problem. It's one of the major issues that all the Rishonim deal with, but I'm just mentioning a few of them. While I'm at it, I'll also mention something else which is also notable, and is also combined with Furshin Ramban. Everything's in the Ramban. The Ramban read between the lines, over the lines, under the lines. There's nothing the man missed. Literally, mind-boggling how he was literally not just concerned about the text, about the pshat, about the pshudosh of mikra, but very concerned about that which underlies the mikra. So I'll get to the Ramban in a few moments, but I'll just mention to you, look at the verb that's used again and again in Parsha Shlach. And that verb is markedly different than the verb that's found over here in Sefer Dvarim. In Parsha Dvarim. The verb in Shlach is the verb B'yasur Eteres Kenan. I heard Rav Soloveitchik a number of times. He contrasted the beginning of the Parsha with the end of the Parsha of Tzitzis. Which the Torah says, V'lesh Nasuru Akhle Levavkin V'chayinechem. There also, there's a very famous Rashi that in Parsha Shlach, that is. In Parsha Shlach, you have a famous Rashi where Rashi over there comments, and Rav Soloveitchik actually connected the dots in the beginning of the Parsha to the dots at the end of the Parsha, if I could use such an expression. There the Torah in Shlach, in Perek Tezvav in Shlach, Pasuk Lamates, Rashi himself tells you, Kimo Mitur Haaretz, Rashi quotes the Pasuk that's found in Shlach, Vayeshuvim Mitur Haaretz, Miket Tavoyin Yom, and Rashi there comments, Harei V'Hainayim Hem Beraglim Raguf. I'm going to discuss this Rashi in a little while. That Rashi said, the Lev and the Einayim, I'm reading Rashi in Bamidbar, in Shlach, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Lamates, in the Pasha Tzitzis at the end. The end of the Pasha Tzitzis in Shlach. Did I leave you those sheets? I think I made enough, actually. I did? Enough, Rabbi Leonard? Okay, Mary Rabbi, so I have to. Anyway, so at the end of the Shlach, Rashi comments. Rashi clearly connects the verb that's found over here below Sasurach Levavkin V'Chayinechem to the verb that's found in Shlach, the verb that is a recurring verb
many, many times the Torah uses that expression to describe the mission. And Rashi says here, "Kamo mitur haaretz," that the pasuk of "mitur haaretz" indicates abayim yoyim. And then Rashi says the comment that I began with earlier, "Haleva inayim he miraglim laguf umisarsim loes haveros hayin roya valeid chaynaid vaguf oitzeh haveros." What a Rashi! If you want to know whether Rashi was a Baal Musar or not, this is classic. What is such a classic piece of Musar that Rashi is telling us that I'm going to describe a little bit later. Yes, Hashem. And Rashi says that the lev and the nine serve as a meraglim for the guf. Lashon that Rashi uses, meraglim la guf. What a lashon. I'm going to get to it. Umisarsin lo saveris. A sirsur is an intermediary, generally. Someone who serves as a in-between person. But Rashi says they are the meraglim for the guf. They are the scouts, as it were, of the body. Ha'ayin roya, the eye sees. Valeid chayved, then the heart desires. And the guf completes the action, the guf, oisei es averos. So I'm going to get to this Rashi a little bit later, but right now I'm still in the beginning of describing, contrasting the chilukim between Pasha Shlach and the story of Raglim as recorded in Pasha Shlach, and that which is recorded here in Pasha Dvarim. So this is really the main distinction, namely, two main distinctions. Where, from whom the directive came from, did it come from Hashem Yisbarach, that's in Pasha Shlach, as opposed to Dvarim, where clearly it was something that emanated from the people, desire. By the way, it reminds us of the Psukim in Pasha Shoytim, where the Torah speaks about the Din of Minu Melech. Again, Ki Sabo La'aretz, and come to Eretz Yisrael, V'yamarta, Asimu Alai Melech, Kichol Agoyim Hashem Yisrael. So the Torah tells us, the desire to appoint the king comes from Klal Yisrael, and the response, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzayim Tatsim Alach HaMelech, that you should carry out their response. In a similar vein, we see in Tanakh, in Shmuel. Shmuel was very opposed to the law of Dir Melech. He says, Hashem u Malkeinu, Hashem is the Melech. There's no need for an earthly Melech, for a Melech Evyon as opposed to a Melech Elyon. So why? And yet Hashem said, no, comply with the wishes of the people. That's the basis, the parallel is found in the Pasuk in Shoytim, where the Torah actually articulates the Pasha, Pasha Melech, Sein Tassim Alech HaMelech, and then you have all the injunctions that relate to Malchus. So here also, they were the ones who suggested Nishmach Anoshim Faneinu. However, the language is not the Yathuru. Notice how many times in Shlach that verb is used. The Ramban and Rashi himself already clearly, at the end of Shlach, Rashi is the one who alerts us to this. But take a look at the Psukim, you'll see that the Torah uses it many, many times. If you look in Pasuk in Shlach again, the right hand column, in Pasuk Tezvav Tezayin, Eilu Shemot HaAnoshim Asher Sholach Moshe Losu Es Haaretz Vayikra Moshe Loshe Benun Yoshua. Next Pasuk Vayishlach Moshe Losu Es Haaretz Kenan. And then there was all the recent Es Haaretz Mayi Es Haaretz Yoshev Aleh. And the continuing, the Torah goes on in Pasuk beginning of Pasuk Chafalos Vayalu Vayosu Es Haaretz Mibid Vatzin Aduchem Levoi Chamos. Again, I can say that that's the Lashon that's used again, as I mentioned, that repeated again and again, the Chafei Vayashuv Mitur Haaretz, that's the pasuk that Rashi quotes. So that's the language used over there. Here in Pasha Dvarim, the verb is V'yachru Lamas Haaretz. It's a clear distinction in Lashon HaKodesh between the language of Lasur and the language of Lachpor. If you have the pasuk in Yeshua, so you'll see over there that when Yeshua Ben Nun sends, just test this. Do I have a learner? David, give me. There, notice the verb that's used in the Sefer Yeshua when Yeshua sends two meraglim, cheresh. By the way, again, the language always is ru'u. That language of ru'ya that Rashi mentioned at the end of shlach is a critical verb. And there they go, and the Navi describes that the Melech quickly discovered the whereabouts of these two meraglim. And a bit later, two psukim later, also again it's repeated that the Melech sent to Rachav, I want those people. Why? Ki lachpor es kol haaretz bo. What is their intention? Lachpor. Lachpor is clearly not the same as lasur. I mean, the word, someone told me the word tour agency comes from this word. I don't know if that's correct. But he said there's a definite connection between the two. It is very clear that the missions that are involved in Sefer Yoshua and the one that's involved here in Shlach that's repeated in Dvarim is not exactly the same kind of mission. The verb itself, Ramban is the one basically who spells this out, and other Rishonim also spell it out as well. But I'll just mention before I really begin the Shia, just a few other items that I jotted down for myself. As I said, there are many distinctions between the presentations that I found in Shlach and the one that's found in Dvarim related to Meraglim. Just to give you a few other examples with reference to this, to these distinctions. You have in Sukkim in the Pasha Shlach, you look at Sukkim Yudzayin through Chos. So all those Sukkim, if you examine them, again, they're on the right hand column. These are, of course, our famous Sukkim. The Sukkim that are very significant over here, but there's no mention of this whatsoever in Pasha's Dvarim. Namely, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is a result of how Klal Yisrael reacted, so he was caught in a terrible predicament, and Moshe Rabbeinu clearly realized the need to invoke the Midos HaRachim of Hashem Yisrael. Of course, the Ramban, by the way, on the spot, tends that here you have the Midos in a truncated form, and that's not exactly the way they're found in Pasuk Tisisa, and the Ramban explains why the same Midos are not found, but here you have in Pesukim Yudzayin, V'Atol Yigdal Melkoach Hashem, Kasher Dibar Toleimu, Hashem Erech HaPayim, V'Av Chesed. Notice some of the Midos are not here, and the Ramban explains them, and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, by Yom HaShem, Salati Kidvarecha. I'm not talking about that tonight, that needs a separate shiur, but I'm just indicating that you have here an element which is not found b'chlal in Parshas Dvarim, that those elements are not at all to be found. Just a few other items I want to mention as well, and that is that this notion is very fascinating. The word Meraglim, which we know, he called the Pasha for Meraglim. So, look in Dvarim for a second. In Dvarim, Sukkim Chavdal Chafei, the Torah actually uses the Lashonos when it's in Sefer Dvarim, when it speaks of the Nishin. So there, the Lashon is Vayiraglu Oysa. When the Torah describes what they did, it says they were engaged in an act of Rigul. Vayiraglu Oysa. That's not found in Pasha Shlach. Amazingly enough, there's no element of liragel, and we generally associate the parsha to be the parsha of Meraglim. And yet that lashon, that verb, is not found in the context of Pasha Shlach. It is found in Sefer Dvarim. There are many other chilukim between the language that's found in Dvarim. There, the Torah speaks about pri haaretz in Pasha Shlach. It speaks about rimonim and teinim. The whole, shall we say, vikuach with kolev that we have very visibly and very noticeably and very perceptibly in Pasha Shlach is not found in Sefer Dvarim, and there's what to talk about as well, the two approaches of Yeshua and Kolei. That's already discussed by Rishonim. Rishonim talked about this already, and then the one who really very beautifully and just remarkably spells this out is the Chafetz Chaim, the Perash HaTorah. Two approaches that Yeshua and Kolei had actually to the entire issue and how to deal with the Meraglim issue, but that's not again on my agenda right now, unless you want to be here the rest of the night. But the in Pasha Shlach also something else that this notion, which is not found in Sefer Dvarim, which is critical. The Ran in the Drasha Saran has a comment. I once taught Drasha Saran to a very young group of people, but it was Baruch Hashem Kedai. I gained tremendously from this experience, and someone just showed me recently. They translated the Drasha Saran into English. It's a very difficult sefer to translate. The one who translated was Zechen Levracha, the one who translated many Svarim. He's a Tzadik Yisrael Eilam. Harav Shraga Silverstein, Zechen Tzadik Levracha. I knew him. He was an astounding person. He was Nifter maybe about a year and a half ago, approximately. Shayef Ayel, Shayef Nofig, and Maskat Tivusel Rafshe. He translated many, many classics for him into English. So I was not aware of it until someone showed it to me. He translated the Rosh Hashanah into English. An impossible sefer to translate. Posh it impossible. I'm not exaggerating. So the Rosh Hashanah, he has a comment, a very fascinating comment. He's bothered by Akasha. This is an aside, so you can't include it in the time. He's bothered by Akasha that Rishonim ask. They don't understand the distinction between two the major Chatoyim that accompanied us, the Chlal. Namely, we're talking about the two central cardinal Chatoyim of Klal Yisrael in our sojourn in the Midbar. One was the Cheder Ego, and the other, of course, the Cheder Meraglim.
And when one examines it, let's say according to Rashi, but even not according to Rashi, even according to Ramban and Ibn Ezra and Safzadi Gaon and many other Rishonim, which chet would seem to be far more heinous. The enormity of one chet seems to be much greater than the other. And that is, ostensibly, the chet ha'ego is a chet which is absolutely according to Rashi. We're talking about the Gimel Averis. Gimel Averis Shechus Dabin Averis Zohar. That's how the Gemara seems to be mashma. Gemara Sanhedrin and also a few other places. Ramban and other Rishonim have difficulty with that. Can't be. They basically, the way the Pasuk says to Ilan, they wanted to go ahead and find a tachlif for Moshe Rabbeinu. And Vayomiris Kvoidim Betavnis Shor Oichal Eisa, which it seems very hard to understand exactly what their intention was, but it wasn't Chas V'Shalom Avod Zara, and not at least the Shubba Shomikra, Chazal Medesh, with Vayatumul Tzachik, and also with the killing of Chur. They're talking about Shvichas Domin. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually seems to take the tack of Rashi, seems to take that position. But Mofishon don't assume that. But Cholos, the way we know the Chet Egel, clearly the enormity of the Chet was something which is clearly very significant. Mashenkin, Chet Baraglin, which, shall we say, either you can define it as Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, a lack of Chibat Ha'aretz. The Pasuk says, Vayimatu the Eretz Chemda, Pasuk in Tilden, that they were Moyes the Eretz Chemda, they didn't have the Chibat Ha'aretz that B'nai Tzvot had. Rashi quotes it. And they were lacking that Chibas Ha'aretz. And there are many riots in the Sukkim that seem to indicate a lack of Emunah, a lack of Bitachon. I'll discuss that hopefully in a little while when I get to the specifics of what I want to talk about tonight. Well, this is just not my preamble here. But I'm just saying that, so the Ran is very bothered by this kashya. What's the chiluk between the Chet and Egel and the Chet and the Ran? For one Chet, they were destined to wander 40 years in the desert. They couldn't enter us as well. And for the other Chet, which seems to be far more heinous, Rebbe Shalom was ready to, that's the Yilu Shalachamim, in Paski Sisa. And the fact that Hashem was ready to give them a reprieve, and as a result, they received the reprieve. They were, the situation was, shall we say, the Rebbeinu Shlomo was willing to be mashem, perhaps not entirely, but certainly partially, that they shouldn't be destroyed and the like. So the fact that, why is there such a distinction? Zok to Ran is something which is mind-boggling. And this Ran I would not have known about, the Drasha Saran, I heard from my Rebbe, this Ran, Rav Tzidov Kanatovsky is a Chassad Zivrochev, maybe 50 years ago. He said the following, said over the following Ran, and then when I started learning the Ran and taught the Ran, I discovered the Ran. There's the Drasha Saran, a pretty explicit Drasha Saran. The Ran says every movement has to have a slogan that we're very familiar with. We who live in the Western world, we know that people, there are all kinds of movements, and they generally find some slogan. Why do they need a slogan? A banner that they can unfurl, something that people can actually connect with, and people need, especially in our day and age where everything is has been reduced to sound bites, so there's even a greater need for some sort of a slogan. So the Ran says, you take a look in the Sukkim, with reference to the Cheda Egel, reference to the Cheda Meraglim, what was the slogan of the Cheda Egel, and what was the slogan of the Cheda Meraglim? He doesn't use the Lashon of slogan. The Ran didn't speak in such terminology. But the Ran says, with reference to the Egel, the Pasuk says, they said, Eilo Lehecha Yisrael, Asher Helucha Me'eretz Yisrael. That was the Lashon that the Torah actually speaks of. Zog to Ran. So they were obviously moving in a forward trajectory. The idea was to move to Eretz Yisrael. Asher Helucha Me'eretz Yisrael. They realized and recognized that the way the Torah says, Motziacha Esomi Mitzrayim, Tavdu Salakim Alahar Azeh, Tavdu Nun, says around at the end of Tzokhin. Tavdu Nun, the ultimate end is Matan Torah, and of course from Matan Torah, the government tells Israel, that was the plan. Moshe Rabbeinu, again, if not for Mei Meriva, Moshe Rabbeinu would have entered out Israel, Takatu Bazoar, and if it says in Tzvalim, it's Tzvalim Akdashim, and Jewish history would have been of a markedly different nature. All that which underwent, which probably saw underwent, the Meshach Kol HaDoros would not have occurred, had Moshe Rabbeinu gone to Eretz Israel. So at least minimally, the Ran said, they were moving in the right direction. They wanted to go there to sell. They were sidetracked because Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared and they were very dependent on him. And as a result, the Cheder Egel occurred. But the fact of the matter is, they were moving in a proper direction to Eretz Yisrael. When you examine the Fash Tamer Raglim, says the Ran, what was the slogan? Nikta Rosh, Benoshuv Mitzrayma. Pilei Tvoyim. The Ran says that here they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. They wanted to undo Jewish history. They wanted to undo the entire course of what Hashem Yisbarach had essentially built in the very architecture of what we're all about. Says the Ran, is why there's a distinction between the Cheder Egel and the Cheder Baraglim.
Chayna Meragdim, which had in it this element of undoing or negating the course of what Hashem Yisbarach had in mind, the whole plan, the divine tichnun. So that led to 40 years of wandering in the desert. Mashenke, the Chayna Ego, we were drawn off course, but despite the fact we were drawn off course, potentially our interest was still, shall we say, to go there. It's a small, short comment of the run in the middle of a much longer drasha. His drashas are very, very long. It's hard to believe that they actually delivered these drashas, and people were there to listen to it. Till they play. The Ramban also has a number of famous drashas, and obviously the Ramban has a well-known dialogue with Pablo Cristiani, a Meshumet, a Jew who became a Meshumet in the palace of the King of Spain, of Aragon. And it goes on for quite an extended period of time. It was actually a period of several days, if I'm not mistaken. Ramban then subsequently, after the drasha, had to leave Spain, that's what Ramban decided to move to Israel, which took him a long time. But Ramban rewrote the whole drasha from memory, presents both positions and the back and forth, the Shaka Vitalia of the Pablo gentleman, and his own position, which of course is the position of Chazal, Chachmi Chazal. But it's amazing that people had the patience and forbearance. And I imagine not just that, they probably were riveted. The drasha of the Ramban is one of the most riveting drashas I've ever read in my entire life. I read the drasha many, many times. I actually taught that drasha of the Ramban. And Ramban is mind-boggling. And the Ramban, of course, is talking about one of the Dovei Rishayim. Every word is Kedesh Kedosh. Every Vav HaChibur is Kedesh Kedosh of the Ramban. And that has to be read. And today, I'm not sure drasha of Haran would be so popular. It's not a popular sefer because it's a very difficult language. The language of the Ran is very heavy, very cumbersome, very philosophic. It's a philosophic kind of language that the Ran has, and it's not the same as the Chidush Ran, Al Hashas. It's a totally different Ran. The same author, the same Mechaber, wrote both Svarim, but it's a different nature. Okay, I'll mention a few others. I told you I have the tens and tens of Chilukim, but I'm not going to mention all of them. I just want to mention a few. Yeah. Sounds like that. Correct. Mamish, it sounds like I think Kimat all Rishonim, Rov HaRishonim did not agree with Rashi. The Rashi is based on Medrash and based on Chazal. Rashi is very clearly based on Chazal and Gemaras. Rashi has many Gemaras in Ramban, and the Ibn Ezra and the Afsadigon and the Ran, they read the Psukim differently than the way Rashi understood the Psukim. Okay, so I mentioned a number of items, and maybe I could, as I said, mention many, many more Chilukim between Pasha Shlach. I jotted them all down for myself. I spent literally the entire week looking for all these chilukim. Every single pasuk I have chilukim, both in the text and the language and the some of the, I consider to be some conceptual areas as well that clearly they are chilukim. But I'll just leave it with what I mentioned to you till now. And the reason why I began with this is because let me, by way of introduction, also still to this whole matter, since I you have the Sukkim of Yeshua right in front of you, just show you again an obvious distinction between Sefer Yeshua and the story of the Meragdim, both as found in Shlach as well as in Sefer Dvarim. As I said, even a cursory glance reveals the great divide between the two incidents. In Pasha Shlach, the Torah is talking about a mission of 12 Rosh Hashvatim. And what is their major function? If you read the Pesukim, and here's how the Ramban reads the Pesukim. By the way, the Ramban, you can see, I'm not going to read the Ramban in Shlach, because it's lengthier, but the Ramban here in Dvarim, he summarizes it. Take a look at the Ramban in Dvarim, and the Ramban in Dvarim is absolutely, really classic. It's beautiful, beyond belief. Kidarko, Bakodesh. Ramban writes over here in Sefer Dvarim, when he more or less summarizes what was the major intention. When they said over here, even though the Lashon, the verb is different, as I mentioned before, but the Ramban says the following. I'll read some of his, just a piece of his Lashon. When the Torah more or less describes it, you look at the Pesukim, you see that they wanted a response. Moshe Rabbeinu was happy. Moshe Rabbeinu acquiesced to their request. He takes 12 Anoshim. Vayifnu vayalu har vayiva nachal eshkol vayiraglu osa. The Lashon of Liragel is used here, which by the way sheds light on the language of Lachpor. Apparently it seems to be a reconnaissance mission. That's what they're involved in, literally a spy mission, if you will. And then, Vayichu Yadam Pi'ot Vayirinu Aleinu, and what do they say? Vayomru! By the way, who is talking? Vayomru! Of course, Rashi quotes him right away, Yeshua the Kohen. because the language is seems to be not in sync with the Sukkim in Parsha Shlach. In Parsha Shlach, we have a divide between the two, Yeshua and Kalei, as well as the other ten. Here it says, Vayomru, Tevahara, Tashay Hashem, okay, Naisir Lono. Implication in Sefer Dvarim being that all of them were maskin. But we don't understand. How do you connect the pasuk that tells you with the subsequent pasuk that tells us there's a rebellion? Why are we sharing on the field there with that word? Narganut, a statement that Klal Yisrael should make. But I will read the Lash of the Ramban. The Ramban here, as I said, more or less is summarizes that which he said in Parsha Shlach. If they said Tev HaOretz, and Rashi said refers to Yeshua B'Kolei, Vani Tomea, Imkein Ma Taina Azayis Alayim, according to Rashi, only two of them made this statement. We see in Shlach, that's for sure, where he said, so, majority rules. The first mission said, of course they should believe the ten more than they should believe the two. Says the Ramban, Ulai, and maybe the title was the following. Hashem told us it's Eretz Teva. Eretz Chem the Teru Chava. Ugdoli Ashuchim Vatadigim Shevayim Matein Eidin Kain. The Doli Ashuchim Vatadigim Vakalim in Yeshua. They testified to the fact that the land is obviously beautiful. Vahaya Lachem Lahamin. Ki Acherim, I gave the majority rules. Acheram Lahatos? No. Neimayach Lei Vamru Mashamru. Why did they say what they said? Because of fear, because of fright. But Ramban says the correct shot, Mashi Pirashi Sham, didn't he elaborate on in Shlach, and here he summarized it in a very succinct way. Shekulam Haidu Lifnei Meshir Aaron Chalei Devi Amru. They all agree. Bonu El Arat Hashem Shlach Tom Vigam Zavat Chabud Vashi Vizirya. Vinei Kulam Vahaskom Achas Vitoiva Toret. They all were masking that Eretz Yisrael is beautiful. Avo, the Chesek Ha'amim Ha'ein He Masrif Lavavam. What happened? Out of fright, out of fear of the nations that inhabit Eretz Yisrael, their hearts melted. Then they saw Yeshua the Kalei were ready to literally move ahead. They came to the rest of the Kalei and said, and that's what it says, the Lashon of Nagonus. Ki Akisha, Moshe would obviously contest that which they would come and say against Eretz Yisrael. Shalom came with Chiva. That's not what he said at the beginning. They said at the beginning, as the Torah describes over here, Vayemu, Tayyib Ha'aretz, Asher Hashem, okay, don't they say Manu? Vahoydu, and they would finish, he Tayyib Ha'aretz, Asher Hashem, okay, don't they say Manu? Vahoydu, and they that's in Pasuk later on here, in Pasuk Chavchet, Ona Arnachdu Olim, Achenu Heimasu Eslovenu, Am Gobel Romi Menu, and the Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes, and the Sukkot Rechem Sham, now God will be wrong, Avra Hashem, Yerachim Lachem, Chal Asher Asar Yerachim, Yitzayim Yadeinu, the Moshe Rabbeinu promised us, and he's going to fight on our behalf, and clearly we have the Ashkach of Hashem Yitzvah, so it's no issue. So, they went ahead, and they spread Lashon Hara. Of course, Kalev tried to dispel it. Always now, there'll be a Lashon Hara, Tzot Yerachim Luchala, the Sukkot in Pasha Shlach, but the Lashon Hara spread, and it was so overpowering, they were able to engender this groundswell against our entry into Eretz Yisrael. And that led to all kinds of peevish complaints, and that's what the Ran comments on. Nita Rosh, the Nashur Mitzvah. Let's go back to Egypt. And even though Yeshua and Kalei valiantly struggled to stem the tide, the result of the Meraglim debacle was the divine directive that we're going to, Rahman al-Utslan, wander in the Midbar for 40 years and they're going to die in the Midbar. Now, if you look at Sefer Yehoshua here, just again, read the Pesukim, I underlined it. Two spies are sent out. Cheresh! What are they? Meraglim! They're real spies. Their identity is closely discovered by Melech Yericho. He instructs Rachav they should be remanded to the custody of the authorities. Rachav, however, what did she see? The Pesukim later on indicate towards the bottom. כי שמענו את השהובת השם את מאה ים סודנכם וטסכם ממצויים אשר עשיתם לשני מלכי אמר השבי והירדן ונשמע באים עצרובבינו. She saw the Yad Hashem, she saw the Ratan Hashem to realize the promise of the Kibush Eretz Yisrael, and she succeeded miraculously in secreting the Miraculous away from their would-be captors. So there are fundamental distinctions between the two parshiyos, namely Yoshua and, let's say, putting together Shlach and Dvorim. Instead of Yoshua, the identity of the Miraculous is immediately uncovered. They didn't achieve their goal. They barely escaped unscathed with the aid of Rachel. Barely. In the Meraglim mission of Shlach, they were successful. 40-day mission. They returned with a wealth of information, a wealth of data. The irony is that the aborted mission was executed by two anonymous Meraglim. The Meraglim of Shlach were 12 heads of Shvatim. The Meraglim of Torah operate for 40 days. The Meraglim of Yeshua operate Cheresh, undercover, in a very secretive kind of way. However, the main distinction lies, as I said earlier, in what is the ultimate purpose of each group. The purpose in Sefer Yoshua, Lachpor, which also happens to be found in Parshat Dvarim, but here it's clearly the only language, that means a military mission designed to uncover the weaknesses, the Achilles heel of those living in Eretz Yisrael, which would enable them to go ahead and successfully enter Eretz Yisrael and obviously be Matzliach. The Meraglim of the Torah, that is not their mission. Even though the Torah used the Lashon of Lachpor in Dvarim, but the focus, as the Rabban says it very clearly, both in Shlach and in Dvarim, was to paint an ideal of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem Yisbarach already testified to its goodness, to gain, again, to gladden the hearts of Misameach, of those who ultimately are going to occupy Eretz Yisrael. That was the main function of the Meraglim in the context of, as I said, both Parshas Shlach, as well as the Parsha over here, namely in Dvarim. The Ramban, actually, in Shlach, there he really is very, very beautifully marich on this idea. And the truth is, I heard from Kimad Omar Rabbeim, I heard from Rav Soloveitchik a number of times, he commented, he actually compared this Parsha, the Parsha of Shlach, if you will, to the Gemara in Kedusha, the Gemara in Meval. The Gemara says, Also love the Kaddish Yisrael Shachar Yirena. Mercy, you're not allowed to be Mekadosh woman until you see Hashem, Yira, Badab, and Maguna, which is Kadaba, but Tayyar Amra, Vihatta, Rechaka, Mecha, in order to prevent the possibility of any Gnai, so therefore you have to see before you go ahead and marry and engage in, shall we say, Kedushin. So here, the Sukkim, the Torah stresses many, many times. The Pasuk says, Ruisim, that's Aretz Mahi. That's a Lashon. The Lashon is Ru'iyah. And Rashi comments at the end of Shlach, Rashi in the Parsha of Tzitzis, where Rashi connects the dots between the beginning of the Parsha, namely, Shlach Rav Noshe B'yasura Seras Kenan, Nevelo Sosuch Yilavachem, Rashi says, Ta'inayim is one of the Meraglim Shal Aguf. Ha'ayim Reh, Va'alev Chaymei, Va'aguf Ha'isa Sa'avera. So here also, the Lashon of Urisem Etzaris Mahi, which is found, by the way, a number of times. And this is essentially this, the idea that the Ramban is the one, if you look at, again, the Lashon Ramban, I'm reading it from Shlach. Ramban practically says it so explicitly, I don't think it could be said more explicitly than the Ramban describes it, because the connection between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, of course, is like a, in some respects, comparable to a marriage. And therefore, the fact of the matter is, in a marriage, there has to be a, the relationship has to be one which is of a profound nature, and that profound relationship was one that was already telegraphed by Hashem Yisbarach very clearly, and so the whole reason, the only reason why we went to Eretz Yisrael was l'sameach osanu. That's what Rabban writes, to be l'sameach us with the report that the, shall we say, these meraglim would come back with, and they're going to paint this idyllic picture. And therefore, the thrust of Moshe Rabbeinu, certainly in Shlach, the way the Rabban writes, was not to spy out the terrain, not to gain the military advantage. For that, you would send professional army scouts, as opposed to 12 Nesiyim. So the intent was to be captivated, to be won over by the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael is indeed Eretz Chem Dotei Rechava, as Hashem Yisbarach himself testified, thereby creating an excitement, creating a simcha for Eretz Yisrael. So the two missions of Yoshua and that which is Shlach are diametrically opposed. One mission, if you will, is of a military nature, Lachbar Ataris and Yosef Yoshua. The other is of a, what shall I call it, an ethical, moral nature. It's a totally different kind of mission. And this seems to be the mashmal to the Rabban. And of course, the Meraglim, instead of returning with a glowing favorable report, rejected it despised the land summarily, said that it can't be conquered, and instead of strengthening the resolve of love Eretz Yisrael, they forged a state of panic and incitement against Eretz Yisrael. And it's very interesting. I always found this to be something which to me is very fascinating. Notice initially, if you look at the psukim, that the initial psukim indicate a what I call an upward trajectory, a kind of buoyancy, kind of excitement. The pasuk says, "Vayalu vayasu es aretz." Vayalu lashon aliyah. A bit later, "Vayalu vanegev vayavad chevron." Again, they ascended. Only now there be a rationary thought. The spirit of Aliyah seems to be the spirit that's relevant over here. However, after that dismal report, there's a total metamorphosis from the Aliyah tones to the Nefila tones. There's like an element of pessimism that clouds the atmosphere. Shom ra'inu etan Nefilin, b'nei hanok min ha'Nefilin. V'anhi v'einenu tachadovim, v'chein ha'inu meinen. That's in Bamidbar. Or, lom Hashem mevi osonu linpo b'cheren. Or, Bamidbar hazeh, yipnu fi grechen. Your bodies are going to fall. That transformation, Aliyah to Nefilah, I believe is the very essence of the tragedy of Meraglim. You can just sense it in the Psukim, means in contrast to the tone of ascension, now we have a tone of descent, which of course is, to a large extent, really the Achilles heel of Meraglim. There's a Gemara in Saita, a famous Gemara that you're all familiar with, this pasuk the Bali Musa have a field day with. My father was Al Hashem was very into this pasuk. Translated, we were in our eyes as grasshoppers, and that is how they perceived us. So we were perceived by them. Question is, how did they know they were perceived by others in that way? So of course the answer lies in the text of Sochim. Who quotes the Navid Sochim Tayyip, quotes the Pasuk, a famous Pasuk, Kidmayim Haponim Haponim, Kenevish Adam La'adam. Which means that the psyche of human being, you can actually even, okay, those who have the ability to read Chokhmas HaParsuf, they have an easier time. I'm not holding by Chokhmas HaParsuf, I'm holding by Aleph Beis, by simple Rashi. So, Kidmayim Haponim Haponim, Nevish Adam La'adam. You can read literally on the face of a person. There's a lot to be read in the face of the person, even without Chokhmas HaParsuf. And if one were to examine the Chet HaMeraglim, the Chet is founded upon, I would even put it in modern psychological terms, if I may, I would call it a loss of self-esteem. The most important thing of a person is to have a sense of self-esteem. Gava Atzmit, they call it in Hebrew. Bitachon Atzmi. Self-esteem. A person who's wallowing, who loses his self-esteem, will project and telegraph that message with his body, with his physiognomy, and someone with a sharp antenna will automatically see it on the person. Kimayim haponim l'ponim. As water reflects a face back to a face, kei nefesh ha'adam l'adam, one's heart is reflected back to him by another. And that's exactly the sod, it seems to be, of the Chet HaMeraglim. And I should maybe mention, while I'm at it, as I said before, if you look at the psukim here carefully, and maybe I'll just read maybe some of this as well. I'm very taken by the Rashi at the end of Shlach. This Rashi to me is the yisod of everything. Rashi almost as if revealed the entire yisod of the Chet HaMeraglim. Namely what Rashi says, that Ha'ayin, Rashi tells us that the Ayin and the Lev are the, Rashi calls them the Meraglim. The Meraglim to the Guf. And the Meraglim, what sense? Ayin Raya, Valev Chaymeh, Vaguf, Oyset Taveres. That's the lashon that Rashi, I believe, uses. So, I actually, just to share with you, I don't know if I wrote it down, but I thought I did. In this language over here, the language of Re'iyah, which I think is very critical, again, I'm not going to read to you all the psukim, but I want to discuss two or three more things that I think are very significant in light of what we said till now. But this Rashi, so I always found this Rashi, my father was very thunderstruck by this Rashi at the end of Parshas Shlach. Of course a person should use his eyes. A person's eyes are critical, there's no question about it. I mean, the fact is, when I cross the street, red light, green light, without my eyes I would not have been able to cross properly. Chas v'shalom, it could be an accident. But at the same time, yes, what do the eyes do? The eyes will tell you, is there a red light, is there a green light? But now the question is, do I cross the street? Do I not cross the street? That requires seichel. So there's no question. that we have to actually see Eretz Yisrael, but now to make a decision based on what my eyes have seen, whether I should enter Eretz Yisrael or not, that a person has to decide not with his eyes, that a person decides with his seichel. And the seichel tells us that despite the fact there are nokim, there are giants that are living there, despite the fact that there are orim b'tzuros, that the Meraglim saw cities that were fortified, but the fact of the matter is, who killed the Becherim Mitzrayim? Who went ahead and helped us cross the Yam? Who was Magdia Power Besol Hero? Who fought against Amalek? Obviously, the Rebbe Shalom is the one who accompanied us, and he's the one who told us that we can enter Eretz Yisrael, and he will help us conquer Eretz Yisrael as well. So, it's true. The eyes are critical. But at the end of the day, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and that's what it says here in Parshas Dvarim, Perek Aleph, Pesukim Chav Tes, and Lamed, if you look, V'omar Alechem Lo Sar Tzun, V'lo Sirun Mayem, Hashem Elokeichem, Ha'olich Lizneichem, Hu Yilachim Lachem, Kichol Asher Oso Yitzem B'Mitzrayim Le'inechem. Correct? This is what you saw. You saw this a little over a year ago. From the days of Makas Becheret to Leil Tisha B'Av, with the Meraglim HaMisloinen, how Hashem killed all the Becheret Mitzrayim in one fell swoop. And in Matan Torah, Rashi quotes over there that Rebbe Shlomo was pasach lem shiva rekiim, and they saw that he was the yochid, and they came to that hakara. So someone without seichel, obviously, if I don't use my seichel, let me be seichel on the seichel. Moshe Rabbeinu is the shliach Hashem par excellence, and he's telling me that there's no problem. So what's amazing is I said this is what my father Shlomo was beside himself when the pasuk says here. In the Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vatzeirognu b'yolechem atomru, b'sinat Hashem o'yitzonu o'tzionu me'et Yitzrayim, lo'fei sotonu b'yana amoyi l'ashvideinu. What does that mean? It means that, yes, Enochanami, we are convinced that the Ribbono Shel Olam has the ability to misgaber amitnani v'emoyi. But we have a problem. What's the problem? He doesn't want to. What does he want to do? Lo'fei sotonu b'yana amoyi l'ashvideinu, pilei ployim. What kind of a taina is that? Mind-boggling taina. Dor deya to say Adoch Shtuyot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did so much good for us. He redeemed us from the Shiva Mitzrayim. Karol HaMasayar, Nilchem HaMolek, Man, Shabbos, Lachem Mishnah, HaSinai. All that was for one purpose. Lost is the son of Yad HaMeir HaShmideni. My father Shalom was beside himself. He couldn't understand the prophet from beginning to end. How could they say such a thing? Enochanami, Rashi comments over there that this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates them came from what fact that they hated Hashem. But still, what did Tal Yisrael think? If Hashem hates us and wants to destroy us, why did he do for us all those tevets? A million of tevets. So somehow the impression is that, and here's where the Rishonim actually have a field day trying to understand this pasuk. So there are many approaches they are familiar with. I'm not getting a chidushim now. They are well known. There are, I would say, three mahalchim in Rishonim to understand the Meraglim. One is the assumption that they somehow saw a distinction between the Anhod of Hashem and Chutzlaretz and the Hanog of Hashem and Eretz Yisrael. In the Midbar, Hashem gives us man, and Eretz Yisrael we're not going to eat man. Eretz Yisrael then is going to be B'derech HaTeva, you're going to have to do Charisha, and Zriya, and Ktira. So when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu effect all these miracles that are done in the B'derech HaTeva? Dafka where? Dafka in the Midbar, in Mitzrayim. But in Eretz Yisrael, we won't have such a Hanog. We'll have to operate B'derech HaTeva. And how is it possible that HaTeva to be misgaber over Anokim, Orim Beturos, Gedemot, Arav Shamayim? And maybe they thought that the Anoga, which was of a miraculous nature in the Midbar, was only relevant to Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu is Berosh, so then perhaps they are zochet to this kind of Anoga, but otherwise not. But the fact of the matter is that this thinking is obviously totally incorrect. Because Hashem is Baruch is one who tells us to enter Eretz Yisrael. So we have to enter Eretz Yisrael. And as they say in the yeshiva parlance, Me'od kashya is shvabim for kashya. You don't die from a question that a person has. There are a lot of kashyas that people have. Plenty of kashyas. You want to have an answer to your kashya? But that's why you're Moshe Rabbeinu. Who else should you ask Ask Moshe Rabbeinu, he'll tell you the answer to all your questions. Moshe doesn't know, he'll answer your other shalom. In du veshma, my tav Hashem lachem, Hashem will tell you exactly what the answer is. But to oppose the Ratzon Hashem? And they should have understood that Eretz Yisrael is a makom kadosh, and the greater the kedusha, the greater the hashraat hashchina. Ban Keseder speaks about this. Okay, this is anyway somehow one approach that Rishonim tried to take in order to understand the Meraglim. In the Zohar, this is a very famous approach as well. Why do they want to enter Eretz Yisrael? Because the Meraglim were Rashi b'nei Yisrael heima. The Mesilas Yesharim calls this Zohar. It's also quoted by many other Rishonim. They assume that in Eretz Yisrael they will no longer have their positions. They'll be defrocked from their positions. And therefore, not in order not to lose their anhoga, so they decided they have to stay in the Midbar. And they stay in Zaya. That's a pillar of Otter. Pillar of Poy. And this is also a mistake, because, interesting, that before at the end of Eretz Yisrael, look at Bamidbar here, in Paragraph Medali, Pasuk Yitzayim, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them the name of the sea, and Moshe Yinchalu Asa'em Etzaretz. And it says there, Lamati Yehuda Kali Ben Yifuneh. Kali was a Ragnar Raglan, and yet he's being chosen among those who are going to be a Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. He's going to be Machil to Kisrael, or to Hishavet, the Chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And maybe he could say that if the other Raglan would behave like Kali, they also would be Zeichat to what Kali was Zeichat to. He's going to be a Nasi, and also be the Seer. Why would they assume that they're going to lose their, somehow, their position of Manigus? Okay, and there's a third approach, and I'm not going to get into that, because it's Engli Eisek Benistaros. And that approach, which is mamish in the Gedder of Nistar in Yonim Amukin, that are involved over here, maybe I'll just summarize it. I'm saying the words, but I don't really know what I'm talking about. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, the pasuk says, "Yitzchazaktem ulekachtem mipri haaretz." I wanted that you should take mipri eitz chayim. And Lashon Zoya is ve'inun lo aitayu el anovim rimeinim uteinim. They took what? Anovim Rimonim Eteinim, which are totally in another Elon. What Elon is that totally on? Eitz Hadas Tevira. Okay, I'm not here to explain in Yonim of the Zoya, but that the Zoya has a totally different approach. Besides the Zoya quoted by Seir Zeshorim, this is also a well-known passage in the Zoya that's also relevant to this. Okay, I just made by way of summary. So, what is amazing is that the Meraglim erred, a rather massive error that Chazal were actually taken to test for. But I want to just examine a little bit, Psukim over here also in Pasha Dvarim, that the Torah actually addresses another aspect here, which is also, as I said earlier, I'm talking about the Chet HaMapilim, which is, again, something that's very hard to, very difficult to understand. The Torah, as I mentioned here also, if you take a look at the, if you compare Bamidbar to Dvarim, you compare the Parshin Shlach, the Parshin Dvarim, there's quite a distinction between the two actually presentations. Namely, I'll just read the Psukim and you'll see what I'm referring to. So in Shlach, when the Torah records the story of the Mapilin, and he's after Klal Yisrael reacts as they do, and you have in the bottom, if you look in the lower right hand corner of Shlach, Batisa Kalaida, Baitan Eskelon, Bayitkuram, Balailahu. Of course, Chazal, the Gemara in Tainis, and General Chazal, that we came to Bechel, the Dairis. Bayilonia, Amoshi, Balaam, Kobana Yisrael, Bayim Ralem, Kalaida, Lumasu, Biar, Sisayim, Banigba, Azel, Lumasunu. Why is Hashem bringing us here? Halaitanu, Allah, Shum, Mitzrayma. And then they said, Nita Roish, Menashum, Mitzrayma. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron right away, Nefilim al Pneim, Yeshua ben Nun and Caleb ben Yefuna right away indicate, Teva Horetz, Meid, Meidim Chavit, Bashem, Meidi, Yeson Horetz, Azol, the Son of Lano, Ach Bashem, Altim Rodu, by Yom Kolei, the last passage got the bottom, Lir Gom, Yeson Ba'abonim, they wanted to stone them. And now the Torah continues, and again, in Shlach, and in the next page, by Yom Hashem, and Moshe, and Omei, and Atsuni, Yom Azeh, the Adon, and Yaminu, Dei, Bechol Oitzes, and Shalsisi, Bekirbo, and Hashem tells Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu quickly comes to the defense, and basically the argument, which is the favorite argument that Moshe Rabbeinu, many times this argument is cited, Chilul Hashem. V'shomu Mitzrayim, ki avisa v'chaychachas amazeh v'kirbo, and
What are the goyim going to say? Mibilti yichalas Hashem lavi yisam azeh laaretz asher nishba lahem vayishchotem b'midbar. And then Moshe Rabbeinu invokes the midos arachim v'Hashem Yisbarach, as I said in the truncated form that the Ramban explains. And then Moshe Rabbeinu tells them towards the end of the those psukim in the chapes chapkimu chapdalid kol anoshim aron eskimodi v'selsosay asher osisi b'mitzayim v'midbar v'aynasu osisi z'efter tom l'osham v'koli im yiruas aretz asher yisbarach v'anotzom kol menatzai lo yirua at only yinatzuni kol menatzai, they won't see it. The Abdi Kolei, the Ekevay Seruach HaChashimo, so he will, in effect, enter Eretz Yisrael. And now the Torah continues and describes the next book is from God Vav Eloi Talam and Hei. Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron and Moshe Leidu Ara Azois Bamidbar Zeh Yipu Sigreichem, and the only ones who will enter Eretz Yisrael are Kolei and Yeshua Ben Nun, etc. And he describes what's going to be the terrible, terrible Omesh, Bimispa, Yom Meshetatim, Sarat Aboyim Yom, Yom Lashana, Yom Lashana, Tisra Ben Osechem. So the Torah goes on now, the next series of Sukkim, Lam Zayin, Lam Ches, those that were sent, Vayalino Lam Kol Eida, Vayamusu Anashem Otsidi Batarat Ra, and now, the bottom of the page, Vayidab Moshe Tadvar Meil, Lakol Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, Vayisabu Ha Meid, Vayashkimu Vabok, Vayal Rosh Ha Olimo, Hinenu, Vayalino, El Amok Mashem Hashem Ki Chatonu. What does it sound like? Now they're ready to go ahead and come to Eretz Yisrael. They want to do tshuva. They know Hashem wants to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. They're ready to do tshuva. That sounds good. What are you doing? Al ta'alu, k'yein Hashem v'kir b'chem. V'lot yinot v'lenei v'lechem. And what do they do? V'yapilu, v'alot v'lo shahar. V'arom v'is Hashem v'meshe, lo'in moshe v'kev v'machane. As a result, v'achman l'islam, the results were disastrous. That's the way the Torah presents the Mapilin episode in Shlach. Look in Dvarim. You'll notice in Dvarim, and again, I'm reading Sukkim, where initially, low left hand corner, Chazov Chazayin, V'la'abisim la'alois, even though Tov Haaretz, Batamru Espi Hashem Elokechem, Batayrog Inubi Alechem, another Lashin, Nagonus, Besinat Hashem Osonim, I spoke about earlier. And Moshe said, no, don't worry. Hashem is going to be the one who guides you and navigates the road. I'm on the next page now. Vayishma Hashem has told you, Rechem, Vayikta, Vayishova, Leimar, Imira Ishva, Anoshem, Eila, Hadar, Arah, Zeh, Eifah, Arat, Atovah, the exception of Kalev, Ben Yefuneh, and as a result, and Yeshua, Ben Nun, and your children, but you will not enter Eretz Yisrael. Now the bottom of the lower left-hand corner, Dvarim Vatanu Vatomu Elai Chatanu Lashem. Again, sounds like Vidui. Anachnu Nalev Nucham Nukhoh Sheti Von Hashem Elokeinu. Now they're willing to agree. Vatachnu Vishis Klein Nucham Tu Vatainu Lalo Sahara Vayam Hashem Elai Yamor Lem Lo Talu Velo Tzilachanu Ki Enenu Bekiruchem. I'm not with you. Vadabe Alechem Velo Shematem Vatamu Ismi Hashem Vatotidu. And Vayitir Amori Yachmanu Litzlan וידפו אתכם כאשר תעשן הדברים ויקסו אתכם בשדה הקורמה ותשוב ותיקו מהשם אל השם מהשם וקורכם ולא יזין עליכם ותשו וקודש יום רבים כיומים אשר ישבתם. So this parasha, the parasha of Mapilim, as the term that's used by the term parasha Shlach, even though it's not actually used over here, but the question is that, as I said earlier, here we have a Dor Deah. And the Dor Deah that somehow, for whatever reason, does not seem to connect with Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them. And when you read the Sukkim, you have the impression that they're ready to do tshuva, both in Shlach and in Dvar. Hinenu v'yalino amakam Hashem amar Hashem ki chatano, the Pasha says in Shlach, what we just read. They're doing tshuva. Yesterday we were frightened. But now that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, clearly indicated to us that there's no reason for any fear, so we're ready to go. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, Hashem is not mekabel this tshuva. And they are, rachmanu litzlan, routed by the Kanani. Why is Hashem not ready to mekabel this tshuva? Not only is Hashem not mekabel the tshuva, but Hashem considers it to be a chet. Baharaya, the Pasuk says, with reference to Tzlovka, the Pasuk says over there, ki bechet ol nes. That was the argument of the B'nai Slavkod,
Uvon in the law. So Chazal say, according to one day, the Gemara on Shabbos says that what chet was that? He was among the mafilim. He was among this group of individuals. So it's considered to be a chet. What is a chet? What would you as they're doing tshuva? So the answer apparently is that there is no tshuva. What did they say yesterday? Or what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them to Hashem Yisbarach? There's only one thing that's koveya. Ratzon Hashem. Only the Dvar Hashem is koveya. Nothing else. If Hashem wants, we can conquer Eretz Yisrael without soldiers, without chayalim, without anything. Hashem said, Bo Roshua Sa'aret, the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. Mentioned the Ramban quotes several sukkim to support his thesis that there's a mitzvah chiyuvis of living in Eretz Yisrael. And among the sukkim he quotes, of sukkim over here, the Pasuk Ches over there, in the beginning of Dvarim, it says, Bo Roshua Sa'aret, Asha Nishma Hashem Lamosecha. Rashi says over there, Lashon Rashi is over a second, Rashi says, Ein Ma'aribar, Vein Sim Mechoma. There's no need for Mechoma. If Hashem is Barak Wat, he can go ahead and arrange the whole thing very simply. But that was when all this was before the Chet. Once the Chet occurred, and once the Meraglim did what they did, Hashem is Barak no longer wants that Klal Yisrael should enter Eretz Yisrael. There's now Gzeira, they should die in the Midbar, they should enter Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, if they go ahead and attempt to conquer Eretz Yisrael without the Ratzon Hashem, without the acquiescence, without the approbation, without the approval of Hashem is Barak, they're not being stuck in the Chet. On the contrary, they are now, what the Gemara says, in Yuma, when the Gemara discusses the machlokes of Alos and Yankiv, the Chachamim, whether a person should re-articulate chatoim that I already did tshuva for and say vidoy, chag tanoim, Chacham say no, ksil, shege, alivalto, why would you do that? And we pass them not like that, we pass them Alos and Yankiv. Even though Yachim and Rabbi, Alok and Rabbi, we pass them, the Rambam passes like that, the Ramah passes like that, namely the Chatosi, Nagy Tomid, the Rabbi says, I should constantly, once again, revisit the Chatoim, even though I did Shuvah, I said, Vidoy! And I had to ask all the said, many Drashas HaTshuvah, what's the Machlok Yitanoim, what exactly the nature of this? I already said, Vidoy, I already did Shuvah! Why Nachamo? Say Dinim in Vidoy, everything is Say Dinim, Kalatar Akula Say Dinim. One is Aloche Vidoy, which of course is to achieve Kapora, that I already achieved, I already did Shuvah! But the second Dinim in Vidoy, Vidoy Shavitoy, in order that I should be able to bring myself close to Hashem's Brach. This is clearly found in the Yena. It's about Shari Tshuva, the whole Sefer, from beginning to end, deals with these three dinim in Vidoy, and also in Rambam, because you examine the two parakim of the Rambam, Perak Al with Vidushal Kaporam, Perak Bez with Vidushal Ritzoy. There's a famous Rambam, which is quoted actually by the Rambam, Rabbi Avraham and Rambam, in Hamastik Leib the Hashem. It's also found in the Pirush HaMishnayis on Obos, where the Rambam was approached by a gentleman who told the Rambam he has no need to say Vidoy Yom Kippur. Because he's assured 1000%. He did not do any chatoyim. So the Rambam reacted to him in a very strong kind of fashion. And the question is, why the Rambam reacted in such a fashion? And the Rambam said, you examine, I don't have the Lashon Rambam in front of me, otherwise I'd read it to you. That if you examine, you'll see that not only is that true what you're saying, but even the very fact that you even broke such an idea itself is molly gaiva, and absolutely there's no basis for what you're saying. What's the Pshat Rambam? Kolach and Makir Esasimo knows whether he committed chatoyim, didn't commit chatoyim. So I once approached Rav Soloveitchik, if I heard that Drosha Satshuva, maybe 40 years ago, and I told him over this Rambam, which he was familiar with, and I said, maybe that's the Pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam is saying to this fellow, okay, mitzad vidushal kapara, kenzai, you don't have any need for vidushal kapara. But mitzad vidushal rizzo, you have a lot to work on. The Rosh said, nishlech, he told me not there. So the only positive comment I ever got from him. But anyway, so I thought that was the Pshat in the Rambam. Mitzad vidushal rizzo, it's not clear. You have to read the Lashon Rambam very carefully. I'm back over here. So here, the Mapilim, not only were they not Masak of the Chet, they were Meisiv of the Chet. They don't understand. What is Koveya? Only the Dvar Hashem. Only the Rosh Hashem is Koveya. Only that can bring them to Israel. So they go after the Einayim. They think they're Giborim, the Chazokim. They can conquer Eretz Yisrael. Without Hashem is Barach, Nishtokin Eretz Yisrael. Yes, Yeshiva says to sell school law, can I get to our mitzvah Shabbat Taylor? Rabban counts the mitzvah for Yumis, but that's only when Hashem Yisbarach tells us to go there to Israel. If Hashem tells us don't go there to Israel, there's no mitzvah to go there to Israel. It's an Adela. And this idea is actually found throughout Tanakh. that only with the Dvar Hashem can we be menatzeach in Melchama. I could bring in many rice in Tanakh. I happen to enjoy learning Tanakh, and so actually teach Tanakh. So therefore, I want to bring many, many rayas. Maybe I'll bring one or two, just to mesaber et ha'ozen. I taught Sefer Yirmiyahu. So in Perek Lamed Beis, the Sefer Yirmiyahu, there the Navi describes that in the days of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, they fought against the Kazans. And so the Navi tells them, there's no point to this Muhammad. Do not continue in this Muhammad. You want to fight against the Kazans, you won't be Matzliach. And the Kazans are going to go and burn the entire city down. So the Navi Yirmiyahu tells them very clearly. And those, even if you destroy the entire Kazim army, and you'll have people who are injured and people who are wounded, etc., etc., they're going to capture Shalayim, because there's only one thing that's Koveya. It's not the Tzava and not the army. Only the Dvar Hashem is Koveya. Only that actually will have an ultimate impact. So Vatem, Hashem tells you to go make Shalom with Nebuchadnezzar and not fight him and not attempt to somehow best him. That's what you have to do. And if you're going to engage in Mechava, you will not be Matzliach. If you go to Dvar Hashem, you'll be Matzliach. If you don't go to Dvar Hashem, you won't be Matzliach. Chaval, I don't have, I thought I brought my Tanakh with me, I usually do, but I probably left it in my car. They don't have a Tanakh here, do they, by any chance? Oh, they might have. Tell me, Bati Medrash, they don't have Tanakh. Gemara says in Brachas, Minu B'nechem and Aigoyim, it's a Rashi in Tzvos HaShacha. So Rashi says, "Al tagilim b'mikra yesu midai." But the Talmud Chacham has in the Kusha b'chadal kishutin, has to have Rashi and Kisisa. And Rashi throughout Tanakh says the Keseder and 24 kishutin of Tanakh the Talmud Chacham has to have. But Rashi says there, "Al tagilim b'mikra yesu midai." I mean, not too much. Just go through the 24 svarim of Tanakh that you should know, that you're mechuyav to know, that you can't get away without knowing. That's something which is very fundamental. I mean, okay, I would show it to you, but I don't have the psukim. Maybe you'll find it. And you have many times, I'm just trying to think where else. Yeah, the other good example is in Bar Kochba. Bar Kochba is probably the best example, one of the best examples that you can see of this, that Bar Kochba has a big army. There's a Yerushalmi somewhere in Tainis that he had an army. The numbers of the army were, if I'm not mistaken, 400,000 soldiers. Yehdi Muhammad, to Shalmi and Tanis. That he had 400,000 soldiers, and he is fighting against, how shall we say, the Roman Empire. He wants to take on the entire Roman Empire. Ah, Shekhar, wow. That's just Tanakh, but. I'll get back to Bakhtosh for a second. Well. Oh, this is Simonim. Beautiful Tanakh. Here it is, Apostle. Perek Lamed Beis. Beginning of the paragraph of base. Hadav Asher Al Yom Yom Eis Hashem Bashana Ha'asiris L'Tzidkiyo Melech Yehuda Hi Hashana Shmona Esrei Shana Bebuchad Retza Vos Chel Melech Babel Tzorim Al Yushalayim Yom Yom Anovi Ha'yakolu B'chatzah Matara. He was put into prison. As we know, Yom Yom was subjected to a lot of Yisurin by unfortunately our own brethren. Asher Klo Tzidkiyo Melech Yehuda Leimor Madu Ata Nibo Leimor Kom Hashem. He didn't even say that there was this, the Yad Melech Babel Luchada. They didn't like the Nebuah of Yirmiyahu. It wasn't too, shall we say, sympathetic to their cause. So they railed against him. The Tzikyo Melech Yehuda Le Yimali Miyad HaKazim Ki Yinosin Yinosin Biyad Melech Babel V'diber Pidim Pidim V'enem V'sele V'tirena U'vavel Yolech Et Tzikyo V'shom Yiyad Pokti Yesu Enum Hashem Ki Silochamu Es HaKazim Lo Tatzlichu. That's what the Rabbi told him. He will not be Matzliach. And they, of course, thought otherwise. So that is something that one cannot go against the
Hashem. There's a Vakaychla. So there also, he was a person who was very tremendous leader, and he was fighting the entire Roman government. And the Yerushalmi over there says that he said, "I can be Mistader, I shall be Mistader without Hashem Yisbarach." The Yerushalmi in Tainis. The Yerushalmi is somewhere in the fourth paragraph of Tainis. So I learned someone. There was a fellow who a number of years ago translated Yerushalmi into Lashon HaKodesh, and his son davened in my shul. And so he told me, he came on Shabbos and he told me he just read the Yerushalmi yesterday if I want it. So I thought he wanted me to purchase it. So I didn't plan on purchasing the Yerushalmi in Lashon HaKodesh. No, he said, no, I didn't plan on selling it to you. I want to give it to you. But it's nine that you will learn the Yerushalmi. Okay, so I had a Sahara to get the Yerushalmi, and so I said, I can't learn the entire Yerushalmi, it's too much. So he said, I'll tell you what, you'll pick. First I'll start with again the Yerushalmi, it's about 7-8 volumes that he translated. You'll take the Yerushalmi, he told me Zroyim. So I said, I'll tell you what, Yerushalmi Peah. I was always interested to learn Yerushalmi Peah, I've learned Agada, and so I agreed to do that. So again, he gave me the whole Yerushalmi Zroyim, fine. Then he continued to visit. He used to come to twice a year. He said, "No, Kvarav, you want more Yerushalmi?" I said, "Yes, I do. Are you willing to once again be okay?" I said, "I'll learn Yerushalmi in Tainis." He gave me money. And then after the third or fourth time, he said, "Here, I'm giving you the entire Yerushalmi. I'm not going to negotiate with you. I hope you'll learn the entire Yerushalmi." And so that's why that's my connection with Yerushalmi in Tainis. Then he said, the fourth parak of Yerushalmi in Tainis, there about Teichel, described as having this massive army, and somehow he said to Hashem Yisbarach that you don't interfere and don't be mafriya me. I'm capable of going ahead and carrying out the mission. I have the soldiers, I have the wherewithal to go and do so. Wow, without Hashem Yisbarach, that one should have a havamina, that one could be mafriya. Come on, one. Such a absolutely unfounded kind of notion. You see, also during the days of, since you have the Tanakh already again, it's starting already, in the days of Chizkiyahu, that when they were up against Sanherib Melech Ashur, Kimani had no soldiers. The Tanakh records they had no soldiers, and Yishayahu actually tells him, that's found in Melochim. So in Melochim days, you know, there are things that found in Melochim, also Yishayahu, there are a lot of cross parallels. That's also very fascinating. You learn Tanakh, that's what you see. A lot of the cross parallels. Okay, if you, again, if the Minu B'nechem and Haigoyim, Yosef died. Don't do it, Yosef died, but a little bit you're allowed to do it. So in Melachim Beis, what parak was it in? Yeah. So here it is in Melachim Beis, actually in Perek Yutes of Melachim Beis, Yishayahu tells Chizkiyahu, "B'shem Hashem, Sancheya will not be matzliach to conquer Yerushalayim. Lachin koma Hashem el Melech Ashur, lo yobo el ha'ir azeis, lo yereshem chetz, lo yikamen amagim, lo yishlech alei ha'tevulah." בדרך אשר יבד לא ישרו בילי עזריס לא יבד ומשם וגנצי על העיר עזריס לא ישיע למעני ולמען דוד אבי לא, רבן שלם said clearly I'm going to save the city, he won't be מצליח. And that's exactly what happened. Pasuk says ואי בעלי לא הוא וייצא מלאך השם ויח במחנה אשור 185 אלף וישכים בבק והנה כולם פיגורי מייסן. They're all dead. That's what the רבן שלם did. So clearly the Ratzon Hashem is that which is Kovei al Gamri, and that's the era here of the Mapilim, and that we have to be very careful that Vishuatzko Kibisi Hashem, and that was really the assault of the Meraglim. The entire Meraglim story is clearly the lack of Amun and Bitochon, the fact that Hashem has brought promised them and told them Teva Haaretz Ma'id Ma'id and Vayimasu Be'aretz Chemdo Loheminu Lidvaro Vayirognu Baleim. That's the Pasuk says in Tilim over there in Kuvav. But David HaMelech says that they literally, Hashem wanted to destroy us, to go, what does it say? He wanted to scatter us all over the place. The lack of Amunah, the lack of Bitochon, and unquestionably,
if we, Klal Yisrael, recognize that Yad Hashem is Koveya, and we Shuvatva Kivisi Hashem, He'll help us prevail over our enemies, and sometimes even over our friends we have to prevail. And Hashem is Baruch will help us in that regard as well. But we have to realize and recognize and be ma'amin that only in Hashem Elokeinu is the Shuvat Yisrael, and not in anything else. Without Amunah, there's a tremendous sakana. On the other hand, if we have Amunah, unquestionably, that's the Mafteach to Shuvat Yisrael from beginning to end. Now, I'll just end by I actually wrote this down for myself. I saw in the Shem Magdalen, I happen to be fond of that sefer, the Chidah. Well, the sefer called the Shem Magdalen. What I like about it, because essentially it's a biography of Gedolei Yisrael. He has the brief sketches of different Gedolei Yisrael. It's come out a number of editions. So he quotes actually a very fascinating story. Since the Ari HaKadosh Yahrzeit was just the other day, people went to Tzfat. So I actually also involved in the Yahrzeit of the Ari HaKadosh. I decided to look into a little bit of the Ari HaKadosh in the Chidah, see exactly what he writes over there. So I saw the following story. Rav Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Ari HaKadosh, was in Yerushalayim. So it says that Boila Sag Yishmaeli, a Sag Yishmaeli, Takif Echad B'Shem Abu Saifin, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, came apparently to him, and he wanted him to go ahead and identify the Mei Gichon. Mei Gichon, of course, if you recall, in Tanakh, the Gemara talks about it in Brachas, Chazal speak about it, that one of the things that Lo Hogu Lo, the Mishnah in Sochid, also Gemara in Brachas, the first fact, that they were not made to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the fact that he was placed in Mei Gichon, the fact that he blockaded it. Apparently Chazal did not have an issue with other Banyanos, they Dafka had an issue with Mei Gichon, the issue they had against Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And I guess the reason is because the other Mayanos were Nistam before the Zvuah Bishayo, that's a mashma from the Sukkim, if you read the Sukkim, so therefore that was not an issue. But somehow the Stima of Megicha was after the Zvuah of Bishayo, and therefore that was considered to be, I think it's what Rashi says over there, Rashi Msokim. I don't know if you have a Msokim, I hate to bother you so much. But the Sukkim there, that's involved in Sokim. So the Rashi is the one, I believe, who makes that distinction between Megichon and other Mayanos as far as this issue is concerned. That's why Chacham hold you know, because after the Nevuah of a Navi, there's no need for any Ishtabos. Once a Navi gives a Nevuah, that Yisod, Godol, and that one has to follow the Divrei HaNavi, and there's nothing to talk about. I think Rashi in Sochim and Nevuah over there, when the Chazal tell us which areas they were moded to Chizkiyahu, which areas they were not moded to him, so I think Rashi has that distinction, whether it's before the Nevuah Bishayo, after the Bishayo. Okay, maybe we'll have to come up Sochim, we'll look it up in a second. But anyway, the Chidah quotes, back to the Chidah. So he wanted this Sar Yishmaeli, wanted Rav Chaim Vital, who was in Yerushalayim, to tell me where exactly the source of Mei Gichon that was somehow blocked by... Thank you. That was blocked by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. One second, let me just see if Rashi actually quotes it. So the Gemara in Malki Shenagul towards the end. Yeah, here it mentions the items that Shalahodu lo Chachamim, they were not happy with him. Sasa Megichon, Kitichsev, Rashi calls him the Zvavim and Aleph, Lamam lo Yavo Machi Asher, Vyimtsu Mayim Lishtas. Shalahodu lo, oh. That's the end of the Navi. If Yishayel came and told him the Nevuah, then there's no need for any Yishtabos. He thought there's going to be Yishtabos to prevent actually the Malki Asher from being able to have water, to draw water from it. But once the Navi told him what he told him, there's no need for the Klal. Thank you very much. Anyway, so the Chidah quotes that this Yishmaeli wanted Rav Chaim Vital to identify the Motza Megichon. the Chidor reports. If he doesn't do it, it'll kill him. So it says, Rav Chaim Vital had a kritsa derech. He ran to Damascus in order to run away from this Russia, from this Tsar who was a Russia, the Tsar Yishmaeli. Nigla elav Rabbi Arizal b'chaloyim. And the Rebbe appeared to him, the Ari HaKadosh. Yomalo, he scalped the Atzai. You did well. Kizah Tsar who Gilgul Sancheiret. This Tsar is the Gilgul of Sancheiret. V'lachein nikla Abu Saifin. The Arab name that he had is Abu Saifin, which in Arabic means Abi HaKadosh, the father of all swords. The Ata Yesh Mechal Nitzayt Chizkiyo HaMelech. And you have the spark, the Nitzayt of Chizkiyo HaMelech. And that was Behoysa Shas HaKosha L'Sakein V'Livtech Me'agichon. That was the Shas HaKosha to open up the Me'agichon. T'yelo B'Tzor Chacham Basra Chizkiyo HaMelech. He, what he did was Shalom B'Tzor Chachamim. U'Bezeh Oysa Atzchal V'Rigula. Amar Rav Chaim Vital, I'm now skipping a little bit. Amar Rav Chaim Vital, Akhil Yushalayim the Paschal. Should I go back to Yushalayim to open it? I'm like Klafol Fashor. Einat Ha'eif Lachzor Sakin says, now is not the time to go ahead and you missed the hour that was opportune and somehow you no longer have it. And this is under, you're looking at the Shem HaGdolim under Rav Chaim Vital, he quotes this story. So I decided to look into the matter a bit further. So I looked at Ben Yoyoda, I'm Sochit, I'm involved, and he has a long richus. And this Abu Sipin, what happened to him, and his kever, Baghdad, I hope so, I'll get into the story. Anyway, it's clear that, as I said, from the whole Raglan episode, that the Mateach for us is Emuna in Hashem Yisbarach. And there's no question, not only the Gemara said at the end of Makkos that Tzadik Ben Menosa Yichya, but every single Jew, especially those who live in Eretz Yisrael. There's no question. One of the aspects of Eretz Yisrael that has, in my personal life, has received unbelievable chizuk is Emunah and Hashem Yisbarach. There's no way that we can survive here from any perspective. Neither politically, economically, socially. Mind-boggling. It's a land of Nisan. Completely. We operate fully B'dach Nes. And without Emunah and Hashem Yisbarach, if we have Emunah and Hashem Yisbarach, there's no question, Yeshua HaShem will be terrified.